seems to me that the position of Moses vis-a-vis Korah is a lot like a parent with a child. Mm. That a child, as the child grows, wants to assert, wants to test, wants to wants to blossom, thinks that it can blossom without heeding that its own internal process is sufficient to guide it and to direct it. And the parent is in a position in which he has to deal with the child so as not to hurt the child, because he loves the child. It's awful. It's a dilemma. But then the only way the child can learn is by being hurt, being by the world, by life. And that's how it learns. And it's an awesome experience being a parent, that's all I can say. It's a sacred experience. It's almost like you are given the opportunity to you're given an insight into what Hashem must experience. In dealing with recalcitrant humanity, with Israel, and its adolescence, its adolescent behavior, it's very touching and profound.
With taking it away from the context of the story, because I'm not super familiar with the story, but I'm wondering if what you're saying, I'm a little bit concerned about giving the message to a child or to a person always to surrender. I'm not sure if that's what you were saying, but I wouldn't tell them. You know, I mean, like, I think sometimes it's good to rebel, especially if you're being oppressed or treated unfairly. If you're enslaved, or if somebody is discriminating against you, or
right,
do you just surrender? There's a value judgment, right?
Right. Do you want me to respond? Or?
Oh, I don't know. Is that the form? I was kind of hoping you would respond.
So taking it back to the story, of course, the context of the story is that the Israelites just did that, right? They just rebelled and left Egypt. It's sort of, that's the larger context of the story, is that it is actually a rebellion against oppression and slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, maybe I didn't make it clear enough, but when I was talking about it, I wanted to bring out the fact that the idea of Korach not being happy with the situation and wanting it to change wasn't the essence of the problem, right? That wasn't the thing that made Korach the symbol of the ego, right? Because Moses himself is constantly doing that. Moses is held up as the ideal, you know, in the story, at least in the way the story is seen and the way it's written for the most part too. That Moses is the leader, Moses is the servant of God, but Moses is also constantly dealing with the dynamic of problems as they arise. The Torah itself, you know, is a is kind of a legal expression at that time that goes against the currents of oppression that existed. Now, of course, you can see certain examples of oppression that exist in the Torah, but if you see it against the background of what life was like at that time, a good argument could be made that that was actually pushing us towards the ideals of liberation and fairness and freedom and all these kinds of things. So absolutely, what I'm saying when I talk about surrender has nothing to do with surrendering to the oppressor. That's not at all what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a much more subtle thing, right? It has to do with the way the ego works in relation to its judgment of self in the moment. Okay? So for example, let's just make a hypothetical example. Let's say you're in a situation where someone is acting towards you in a way that is not respectful. It doesn't have to be some grand thing. You don't have to be a slave or be beaten up by someone. Let's just say someone's not being respectful. Someone's talking to you in a way that's disrespectful, okay? In a social situation, right? So surrender doesn't mean, therefore, I have to let the person talk to me that way and just sort of stand there and let that happen. Surrender means that it means being aware of the tendency in the ego mind to say, this shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't be here in this situation. And so therefore, and through that type of thinking, it doesn't even have to be a conscious thought. It's just an orientation, right? Then anger has the ability to take possession of you. Now, on the other hand, if you notice that there's this disrespect happening, and you notice that anger is naturally arising within you, and you notice that you are feeling negativity, right, and feeling disrespected, right, then you can, rather than being the ego trapped in that situation that's rebelling against it, you can be a conscious presence that is noticing the totality of this situation. And from that place of the conscious presence, which is also experienced as a deeper silence within which the noise of the situation is happening, right? From that place can arise a response that can be very forceful, maybe, or maybe not, depending on who you are and what your personality is and what your orientation is. But whatever arises from that place is going to be different from the place of, oh, I can't believe, how could you, right? From that type of thing, which is consciousness exiled in or trapped within the small self or the ego self or the separate self. These are all just different words that I'm using for a certain aspect of our being. Right, and that the spiritual process has to do with noticing what that is, first of all, and second of all, noticing that you're actually bigger than that. Right, but you still have to deal with the situation, mm-hmm. Right, and what is the situation inviting? What is it commanding? You know, we may have to be forceful with a person because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to stand up for yourself in some situations, right? It's not standing up for yourself. It's standing up for humanity. It's standing up for what's right, right? Sometimes it's standing up for someone else. Sometimes it's standing up for yourself. Whatever it is. But what does the ego do? The ego thinks, I shouldn't have to do this. Why should I have to be in this moment? Why should I have to be in this situation? That's the ego coming in, right? But we do have to deal with it. We are in that moment, right? So that's the difference between the Moses character who's arguing with God versus the Korach character who's arguing with Moses, You know? Because nothing is ever static. We can't not act. We don't have the choice to just not do anything, because not doing anything is also doing something. Everything is a choice, right? Nothing is static. We're always, everything is moving. So are we moving, though, from the wisdom that arises out of the silence of our conscious presence, of our awareness of everything that's happening? Or is our action arising out of the narrow space of our thought, emotion, process that we think of as me? Right. So does that clarify that?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good. Yeah.
So I have a story, and it's also about one of the ways in which my ego manifests itself is a desire to control. Mm. Like things aren't the way I want them to be. I sometimes have control them, or I have this delusion that I can't control them, and of course I can't. And one of the places where it comes in, where I've really had to learn that lesson over and over again, the fact that I don't control, is with my son, one of my sons in particular. Mm. And I remember talking to my therapist a number of years ago when my younger son was going through a very difficult period and a very rebellious period, talking about Korach, you know, and dropping out of school and this and that and the other and so on. And she looked at me and my wife, who's not the mother of this kid, and said, "Well, you know, you have a choice. You can try to control and, you know, bring in the authorities and then bring the psychologists and, you know, get the kid in the residential. You can do all that stuff. And it's going to be a lot of work. And you're going to have to get your ex-wife to agree to it too, which is, that's a whole other piece of it. That's a whole other piece of it. Or you can accept him, which is another way of saying you can love him for exactly who he is right now. And, you know, I was flashing Rabbi Yosef Bar Bria on the way in which Moshe Rabbeinu Moses spoke to Korach and his crew, you know, Korach Vada Tov. And, you know, he didn't say, "Look, I'm right, you're wrong, to hell with you." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, tomorrow morning we'll both show up. You know, me and Aaron will show up with our panniers with, you know, incense, Kataret, and you and your crew, that you'll show up. And if, you know, we'll see what happens." And then he said something really interesting, cluing in on your name, Brina, with an aleph. He says, "V'im nivra'a, or im tibara," I forget the exact wording of the Torah and Korah, but if there should happen to be created, b'riyah hadasha, a new creation, meaning an earthquake, meaning that the earth splits open, that's what he's hinting at, but he doesn't say that. He says, if something strange happens,
right,
that normally doesn't happen in the normal course of events,
right,
in the desert or on the earth, then we know. And, you know, I've had the experience in recent years where I've begun to practice, out of sheer necessity, acceptance and love of my son, that I don't have to control him. The universe intervenes, and he finds, you know, there is such a thing as gravity, and there is such a thing as the speed of light. There are limits. You know, there is Gevura, and the universe is Chesed and Gevura, and he's been running up against the Gevura, you know, the Dinim. There are limits in the universe, and I don't have to do it. And I just get to be loving and accepting of him and me, because it's a lesson of me, of course, in the moment. And just be with him in the moment. It's amazing. But that took a lot of years, a lot of patience.
A lot of coming up against the dinim.
and my own desire to, I want him to be better, I want him to be different, I'm judging. Yeah. And all of that, you know, all of that. And just, and believe me, I did not want to let go of that position. But I got beaten out of it. I had no choice but to let go of that way of dealing with my son.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Rabbi Yosef.
The image is if you're in conscious, it's like this triangle with the base down and solid, you know. It's most in the maybe the ego's up here at the top in a way, but it's not that it's not controlling. But when the ego controls, it's flipped like that. You've got the, you know, down here, and it's there's no stability. There's, my son does his own thing, and he's just kind of like the rest of the family is kind of very social. And David, you may know, he's just kind of his own, he's like his little own thing. He does his own thing in his own way. And his mom was saying to me, you know, how do you deal with this? Because she is upset. He's always disappointing her. And I said, well, I have low expectations. And I guess part of low expectations is acceptance. It's kind of, so but I'm I don't know, it seems like in this time of my life in the last year or two, through this teachings about spiritual work, is really sort of coming dealing with the ego and seeing how powerful it is, and how it just now it can get me so upset. like today I was out and I had some errands to run, and I had to go to this store, and then that wasn't working. I had to go to another store. Half the errand really was sort of for my wife, and I could, and I know in the past I could easily have just like, oh, this is terrible. I shouldn't have to do this. It's not fair. You know, instead of just did it, it was fine, you know. It was. So it's, and I watched my grandson, who's 11, and he's, he has this thing about, you know, fairness in the world, and so anything that doesn't work out the way he really wants is unfair, and just, and he's, you know, he suffers. Everybody around him sort of suffers. Unless you back off. I was with my younger grandson, who he had sort of made some little things out of wood and feathers, and a bunch of us had to get into the car, and it kind of squashed the stuff he'd made, and he just his temper tantrum. And I was with David, my son, and David's a teacher, and so I was thinking, well, so how should I deal with this? He said, just let him have his temper tantrum. Okay, so I just, You know, 20 minutes later, 25 minutes later, it's all gone.
Yeah.
He kind of, he walked, there was enough space where we were, so he could have it, and we could not be in that space. And then he came over, and it was like totally, it was gone, and I hadn't struggled with it, so I wasn't feeling, there wasn't any angst here. feels like it's about reality. It's about consciousness.
Thank you. I just want to say that the last piece that you said about the temper tantrum is also a good metaphor for dealing with ourselves, you know, that when we struggle against it, just creates more of the same. But just like the child, it burns itself out. It goes for a little while, and then it's completely over. This is one of the wonderful things about children, is that they have the ability to express their negativity and their angst of their kind of pre-ego, you know, they're kind of like just forming egos that gets all temper tantrum-y, and they get to really release it all. Whereas our tendency as adults is that we build a whole narrative around it. We're so smart, you know, so we build all that negativity into ourselves, we program it in, and we don't release it. But we can release it, you know, we can release it. And there's no harm actually in having a tantrum. You know, I realized at a certain point in my own story, the most powerful transformative times in my life came more through the meditation angle. So that carries with it sort of a natural, certain characteristics, you know, of this kind of like, just being with, being present, allowing, right? But I read a teacher once who was also in that same vein, but who encouraged people just to punch the pillow and have a tantrum or something if they need to, because at whatever point we're at, we might have all this negativity within us, and sure, it'll dissolve itself out eventually, but we can also express it and let it out quickly. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I never heard anyone say that before. I've never heard a spiritual teacher say that before. And then years later, I realized actually, prayer has a very similar quality to it, because when we're praying, we're davening, the potential for prayer is to put all the energy that's arising in your heart, meaning arising in your emotional self, to put it all into the prayer. Mm-hmm. And I came to see it really as that's the most vital part of prayer. And prayer and meditation are complementary in that way, because meditation, we are allowing ourselves to recede into the field of beingness, the field of awareness in which everything is happening. And with prayer, we become completely present with all that energy that's happening and allow it to express itself. But the difference in prayer, between prayer and merely venting, is that when it's really prayer, all that energy also becomes elevated in a sense. It has a transformative quality, because as we're yelling about something, we're also surrendering. If it's real prayer, we're also surrendering. We're also saying, okay, I accept it. I accept your will. Right? Now, of course, that's a dualistic thing, and my will and your will, that's a dualistic thing. But that's how prayer works. It's a dualistic, it's getting into the dualism in order to transcend the dualism, in order to allow the ego to kind of bow itself. Anyway, this kind of reminded me. Yeah.
I think you have to start from a dualistic dvaikas. You have to start from an intimacy between self and other before you can have the merging into the oneness of yichud, you know, non-dualism. Mm-hmm. So it's a place, you know, that dualism.
Right.
And it has its
Right.
I just wanted to maybe take a guess at rather than it being dualistic, surrendering yourself to the higher will, it's actually not dualistic, it's merging with your better self. Mm-hmm. So maybe if we look at it that way, it's not as difficult. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's probably still going to be difficult, you know, but the more you do it, maybe the less difficult it becomes.
Mm-hmm. Good. I want to really just thank everybody for, you know, I'm sorry, did I get everybody? Did you want to add anything? Or just for what everybody brought this evening, you know. Allow the voice, you know, voice of consciousness or God or truth or whatever it's speaking out through all of us. So thank you very much.